Welcome to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast with Jacob Ayers, providing actionable content to help you along your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. As the premier asset class, real estate has helped ordinary people just like you amass fortunes. The benefits of passive income from real estate investing will allow you to live a life you want. And now your host, entrepreneur, real estate investor, and apartment deal syndicator, Jacob Ayers.
Hi, and welcome to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast, episode 101. Today, our guest is Iñaki Strick. Iñaki began his real estate career at Sotheby's International Realty, where he represents luxury custom home builders. He then moved down to the Caribbean to become the business development manager for Mahogany Bay Village, the largest and first luxury branded resort in the country of Belize. Today, Iñaki is the director of investor relations at Four Peaks Capital Partners, a private real estate investment firm that focuses on mobile home park communities and gives accredited investors the opportunity to invest passively. Iñaki is also the number one Amazon best-selling co-author of The One Thing That Changed Everything, endorsed by Brian Tracy. This book is for anyone who is seeking mentors who have found a path to success. Without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. All right, today I welcome on the show Iñaki Strick. Iñaki, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, Jacob, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being here with you.
Iñaki, it's our pleasure as well. Well, hey, could you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got started investing in real estate?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now I'm 26 years old, and I was in college studying business management, and I didn't exactly know what I wanted to do at the time, but I knew I wanted to have my own business. And at the end of my studies, the last semester, I took a real estate finance course, and that was essentially the first class that I actually really, really enjoyed and loved, and went above and beyond in studying outside the class and more than was necessary. And essentially, I found a little purple book called Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And man, that was the first book that I read by choice and multiple times. And once I picked it up, I couldn't put it down. And it really opened up my eyes about real estate and the power of investing in real estate. So I had good grades in college. I had good interviews set up to go out into the corporate world. But after I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, I decided I wanted to be a real estate investor. So now it was time for me to figure out how I could educate myself on investing while at the same time making an income. So I didn't want to go into the corporate world because I felt like I would spend too much time working for a job that I didn't really enjoy. So I said, what can I do now? Well, maybe I can start selling real estate. So I got my real estate license right out of college and started by selling real estate. Eventually, I started working with Sotheby's International Realty, which is the number one luxury broker in Houston, Texas. And I represented some of the best custom luxury builders in Houston. And that's really how I got started, by selling real estate. And my focus was primarily on sellers and luxury builders, because for any of your listeners out there, if they're real estate agents, I highly recommend that you control the listings. Focus your marketing efforts on getting listings, because when you have listings, now you have other agents showing your properties and you have more freedom and time to go out and continue to expand your business. When you're working with buyers, you can only handle so many of them at the same time. But when you're working with sellers, you can handle as many as you can take on.
Yeah, awesome, Iñaki. Well, it sounds like you had a good timing for picking up that little purple book that so many of us are familiar with. And I'm actually pretty jealous that you read it and towards the end of your college career, because it really set the direction for your career path from there on out. And like you said, you weren't really looking to get into corporate world, where many people, that's kind of the path they take. So really cool stuff there. Tell us how you've kind of transitioned from your role selling real estate to what you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of things that happened in between there and now. And I think the very first thing that kind of got me to move quicker into my ultimate goal was to be a real estate investor, not a realtor. Being a realtor was just a way for me to make an income while I learned. So I started researching and finding other investors that could essentially teach me how to invest. And that's when I came up on the Real Estate Guys radio show, and I really liked their information. I really liked what they were talking about, and they were promoting their investor summit at sea. And I'll be honest, the price tag was a bit too high for me at the time because I had just graduated college, just entered my new career. But I knew that because there was such a high barrier of entry, I knew that the people going were going to be the real deal. So I had to figure out a way to get there. And so, you know, I'm always a believer that if there's a will, there's a way. So I didn't let that price tag stop me. So I did a little bit of research and found out that they had a young adults program, and that was going to be their first year running it. So for anybody of the ages 18 to 25 years old, they would essentially cut their price tag in half just so that they could come and join. At the time, even with the price being cut in half, that was still a little bit high for me. So I kept digging, and I found out that they had sponsorship packages where if you sent in a video and applied and you got chosen, they would cut the price tag in half again. So I did that. I sent a video pretty much telling them why I wanted to be there and the reasons why they should pick me. And eventually they did. So I went on the Real Estate Guys Radio, you know, Investor Summit at sea. I met so many incredible people. But I think the biggest, that's where I met Robert Kiyosaki for the first time. So that was amazing. We were actually there on, it was his birthday party and his 20th year anniversary. So we had a big party for him. So it was just awesome being able to spend that time with him. But there I grew a relationship with Robert Helms and Russell Gray, which they have the development project in Belize. It's called Mahogany Bay Village. It's the biggest resort in the entire country of Belize. And so I was looking for some place where I could take my sellers that had just sold their luxury home and got a lot of capital in their bank accounts. I was trying to find a way for them to be able to invest it. And so when I saw Mahogany Bay Village, I was like, this is it. This is where I need to bring them. So we worked out on a business model to where I could bring my clients down. But eventually one day they called me and they said, hey, a position opened up down in Belize and we would like for you to take it if you're willing to move. I was like, oh my gosh, I knew that by going down there and working for them, it would take me a step closer to continuing to learn about investing from the best people that I knew. So I took that job, moved down to Belize, lived in the Caribbean for a while. And man, that was an amazing experience.
Yeah, and Yaki, so much good stuff here I want to touch on. And the first thing is going back to trying to swallow that price tag of the Investor Summit at sea. It is an expensive price tag, but you were just persistent in your action to make it work. Sent in that awesome video, got selected, and were able to go and network with all these people. And a point I want to touch on here, Yaki, is you and I are acquaintances, follow you on social media. Every time I turn around, you are rubbing elbows with the big players in this space. Robert Helms, Russell Gray, Robert Kiyosaki. I've seen you at dinner with Gary Vee before. I mean, you are out there networking. And I'm just like, what is Yaki doing most of this time? And it's because of your persistence. You're always out there networking, building these relationships, and it's really helped you get to where you are. So this opened up this new door for you to move down to one of the most beautiful places in the world, in my opinion, and that is the Caribbean country of Belize. So you're down here now through these connections you've made, working with the Real Estate Guys, Robert Helms and Russell Gray, helping them develop and sell this new Mahogany Bay Village luxury resort. And I think it's a really cool transition that you've taken from your Sotheby's experience, helping these sellers who have come into this new acquired capital and helping them place it in these investment properties down in Belize. So really cool stuff there. Well, tell us what was next in your journey from there, Yaki.
Yeah, so after being down in Belize and living the Caribbean life and living on an island, I decided to move back to Texas. And now that I came back to Texas, well, let me back up a little bit. Just going to the Real Estate Guys events, I figured out that there was a thing called syndication. And syndicating essentially means you are putting together resources, teams, and projects and investor capital and you're bringing it all together so that investors can invest in bigger deals together, and you can use other people's money and other people's time and other people's experience. So when I learned about syndication, I figured out, you know, that's my next thing. That's what I want to do. I want to raise capital, and I want to help investors invest passively in bigger deals. So essentially, I moved back to Texas, and one of the investors that I met on the Investor Summit at SEEK, his name is Andrew Lanois, and his partner, Mike Ayala, they reached out to me, and they're like, hey, we're growing our company, we need some help, and we need a new director of investor relations, and we'd like for you to come and work with us. And so it was just kind of perfect timing. And so now what I'm doing is I'm going out and building relationships with investors and allowing them to learn about investing in mobile home parks through Four Peaks Capital Partners. And so now essentially my job is to keep going to these events and keep meeting all these amazing people and building relationships with them.
Yeah, that's awesome, Iñaki. So kind of tell us how that works, being such a young professional in this space, because like you said at the beginning of the show, you're 26 years old, but you've got all this awesome experience so far. So how have you not let that hinder you in going out and rubbing elbows with these, you know, big players in the space, raising capital from people? I mean, that's the real deal. So can you talk a little bit about that aspect of things?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, and I actually get that asked a lot from younger people. You know, they're like, how have you done all of this at such a young age? You know, do people not question your age? And you know, something I found out is that successful people, successful investors, they are actually willing to share their knowledge, and they want you to succeed. So I see my age as an asset, not as a liability. I actually go out of my way to let people know how young I am, because they see their younger selves in me. They see a young professional guy that wants to succeed and is out there doing anything that he can to go out and make things happen. So somebody that's already successful, they got there because they have an abundance mindset, and they got there because they are help other people. So when they see a young guy trying to make it, they're willing to help.
Oh man, Iñaki, I love it. So you're taking this young age as an asset and not, you know, a detriment to your success. So man, I absolutely love it. And I think it's really important to point out to the younger audience members out there to not let your young age get in the way. You know, you're out there rubbing elbows, doing deals, making big connections, and you know, you're just doing it because, you know, you're out there being persistent. So really awesome stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of touch on it again, I mean, because I'm young and because I went to an event and met Kyle Wilson, he's the Jim Rohn's 18-year business partner, and he did all of the marketing for him, and he built a million-plus list of his database. Because I'm young, he likes young people, and I told him I wanted to write a book, and he told me about his project that he had coming up, which was The One Thing That Changed Everything, and he essentially invited me to be part of the book, and because of that, now I am the number one best-selling author of The One Thing That Changed Everything, and had I not used my age to my advantage, I would have never done that.
Yeah. Well, one thing we always talk here on the show, Iñaki, is the power of building your team and networking, and you have really taken this aspect and run with it. So you're out there networking with all these people. You're building relationships with Kyle Wilson, Robert Helms, Russell Gray, Robert Kiyosaki. I mean, we could go on and on about all the relationships you've built, but it's really helped you get you where you are today. So could you talk about the importance of how these people have helped you grow in your career to date?
Yeah, well, I mean, without them, I would never be where I am today. I mean, it's just kind of what I was saying today. I think the most important thing is to not lead with your needs, right? I mean, don't go out there and network and try to get something out of people, but rather go out there and see how you can add value to them. So when I'm building these relationships, Russell Gray taught me that it is never, ever, 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 ever about me. It's always about what the other person wants and what the other person needs. And if you figure out what it is that they want and need and how you can add value to their life, then in return, they'll essentially help you out. But if you are trying to just get something for nothing, that's just not a good way to start a relationship.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, Iñaki, tell us about how you've started coming to this syndication model here, and kind of tell us about your aspect on it. You've touched a little bit on what syndication is, but why are you focusing on this model, that is?
Yeah, I think, you know, by doing syndication, you can help other people that are busy professionals that may probably understand the benefits of real estate, but they probably don't have the time to do the research or the knowledge, or they don't have the time to go out and get the knowledge. And you're able to help other people invest in real estate passively. And ultimately, together, we achieve financial freedom. So to me, it's not just about the money. To me, it's also about being able to help other people achieve financial freedom, because I believe the more people you help, the better your life is going to be. So syndication allows me to do that. And syndication is a way that not only can I achieve financial freedom, but I can help others achieve financial freedom.
And Yaki, one of the recurring themes I'm seeing here is helping others, all the way from mentors who you're trying to network with to your clients and customers that you're trying to help syndicate deals with. The fundamental underlying value here is you're trying to help everyone you come in touch with. So, man, I think that's really important to take away from these conversations up to here.
Yeah, and something to add on to that, one of the sessions that I was with Robert Kiyosaki, he came in a very spiritual way this time. And, you know, he was talking about the concept of be, do, have. And what he meant by that is everybody wants to have. They want the nice house. They want to have the nice car. They want to have wealth. But because they're focused on the having, it's going to take them a lot longer to get there. He says you need to first focus on the be, then on the do, and then on the have. So who do you need to be today? Who do you need to become? How do you need to behave so you can go out and do the things necessary so that you can eventually have what you want? So if you become the person that's always helping, if you behave in a way where you are adding value to other people, essentially you're going to start doing things that will eventually make you have the things that you want. So it's a little bit of a mind shift there. So rather than focusing on what you want, first focus on who you need to be.
Man, that's such great stuff. And every time I hear something from Robert Kiyosaki, it's just so mind shift, so like fundamentally different to what you've been thinking all this time. So like you're saying, many people think of the end goal. I want the cars, the houses, the watches, you know, all this luxury lifestyle. But what you really need to consider is back up and think about who you need to be today, and then what you need to do to get to where you need to where you want to be later in life. So yeah, great stuff there. I mean, just such great stuff from Robert Kiyosaki. And these are the little bits that you get from being around people like that.
Yep. Yeah. I also had the pleasure to have lunch with Tom Hopkins, and he taught me to use money and love people. Don't love money and use people. And it's just a little small sentence, but oh my God, it makes so much sense. You know, use money and love people. Don't love money and use people.
Yeah, I love it. Well, and Yaki, what do you think are some of the benefits of being around the people that you've been around, building your network and all of these things up to this point in your career?
Yeah, I think the biggest benefit is that you don't have to go out and reinvent the wheel. You can learn from people that have already been there and already done that. You know, one of the ways to learn is to make mistakes. I think a better way to learn is to learn from other people's mistakes. So all these successful people, they've definitely gone through their ups and downs. So if I can get around them and they can give me advice and they can tell me things on how they went wrong and how they succeeded, then I think it is a lot easier. You know, Robert Helm says, more sooner is better. So I think that by learning from these people, I can get there a lot faster.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and Yaki, I really wanted to dig into your background because it's pretty unique. You're a young guy. You've been out there just doing all kinds of stuff, building relationships, you know, moving around, doing all kinds of interesting business stuff. And it's because you've been able to make these networks and these relationships and develop all these cool, unique experiences. Now you've kind of taken that over to some experience at Four Peaks Capital Partners, where you're doing something really unique there. So can we kind of transition into more of the nuts and bolts real estate of what you're doing there and what it looks like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the Director of Investor Relations at Four Peaks Capital Partners. And Andrew Lanoy and Mike Ayala, they're the general partners. And we have about 70 employees across three different companies. We have a property management company, we have a construction company, and then we have Four Peaks, which is the investment side of things. And essentially, you know, we looked at different businesses and different asset classes to where we could go out and, you know, let accredited investors partner with us passively. So we first took a look at single family homes, but essentially these are getting scooped up by homeowners attempting to get their next home before interest rates rise. And there's so many investors learning about the power of real estate investing and buying up most fixer-uppers. So, you know, there was just too much competition in that space. So then we looked at multifamily, and as you probably already know, cap rates are getting compressed in multifamily. And I'm not saying there's not any good deals out there. I'm just saying we wanted to have scale and we wanted to move fast. So we had to look for a different asset class that was recession resistant and delivered income and growth. And that's how we ended up with mobile home parks. And essentially, there's many benefits to investing in mobile home park communities. We say it's one of the biggest secrets in real estate investing, even though more people are starting to find out about them. But essentially, we like that they're recession resistant, because if you think about it, you know, nobody has a crystal ball. Some may say that the next downturn is coming soon or later, but we all know that it's definitely going to be here. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And mobile home parks, if you think about when somebody loses their job and they lose income, if they own their home, they may have to sell it, downsize, and go rent. Those people that were renting will have to go to an apartment. Those people will go to a lower class apartment. And essentially, you get all the way down to mobile homes. After that, there's really nowhere else to go. So during an economic downturn, people get pushed down into mobile home parks. And there's actually a graph that shows in 2008 how, you know, a commercial property, retail, apartment, single family homes, they all went down as far as income and value goes during the recession. But mobile home parks was the one asset class within real estate that actually continued a steady upward trend. So that's one of the main reasons that we love mobile home parks.
Yeah, mobile home parks are an interesting asset class, Iñaki. They've kind of got a bit of a negative stigma around them. People want to, you know, tend to stay away from them. They think, you know, blue collar, C minus kind of asset classes that are more headaches than they're worth. But they're actually a pretty interesting asset class. And you're talking about the recession-proof nature of them, and it all makes sense. You know, in a recession, people have to have somewhere to live, and if they get moved down from, you know, Class A apartments to Class B, Class B to Class C, whatever it might be, you know, these mobile home communities are always going to be in need. So on the flip side, what's it look like in a great economy? Do you see vacancies in mobile home parks when the economy is good, when people are moving on the up and up, you know, or there's still a demand for these communities?
There's a huge demand for affordable housing, and there's actually a diminishing supply of mobile home park communities because a lot of them are getting scooped up and then they're getting repurposed into higher and best use. So a lot of them are getting converted into retail shops or malls. So on a net basis, we actually lose about 2 mobile home park communities per year. So there's a huge demand for affordable housing, even in a great economy. And so I'm not saying that during a downturn, they're going to shoot up as far as value and income go. I'm just saying that they're going to continue a steady upward climb.
Yeah, when you break it down to simple things like supply and demand, if the demand is, let's say, steady, but the supply is diminishing, you say we're losing on average 2 mobile home parks over a year, but there's certainly not near as many being built. You know, you don't see new developers going out and building mobile home parks, right? It's Class A office space and Class A apartments and high rises, you know, brand new nice things, higher and best use of real estate, right? So there's really not an increasing supply in mobile home parks coming on the market. And it's actually a pretty big issue in our country, and that is affordable housing. So yeah, I think that checks a lot of boxes for, you know, multifamily investing. So really cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things is that you're right. I mean, they're not getting built as fast as they're needed. And just to clarify, we have a construction company, but it's not to build new mobile home parks. We actually acquire already existing parks for many reasons. But one of the main reasons is that many of these mobile home parks, they're owned by mom and pop operations. And they're not, you know, professional landlords. They're not professional managers. And so a lot of time they don't use their parks to the best efficiencies as possible. So, and a lot of times they're just looking to retire now, because most of these mobile home parks were built in the 50s and 60s. So by now they're just looking to cash out. So we're able to buy these parks that are mismanaged at a really, really great price. And we're able to increase the occupancy and increase the efficiencies through our construction company. We'll go in and we'll rehab the homes that need to be rehabbed, and then we'll sell them off to new tenants. And that way we increase the occupancy, and then we'll put in our own property management company in place to collect rent and increase the standard of living there. You know, a lot of these homes, our business model is not to actually own the structures. We want to only own the land. And now we go through a process, because a lot of times the parks own the homes, But essentially, we want to only own the land and have them pay rent on the land, because by them owning the home, it does a lot of things for us. First of all, it increases the pride of ownership, so they take better care of the communities. But it also reduces our maintenance and management costs, because they own their home. If there's any broken toilets, broken cabinets, or anything that happens in the interior of the home, they take care of, because it's their home, they own it. But the biggest thing that them owning the home does for us is it gives us a more consistent source of cash flow. One of the biggest expenses for a landlord is tenant turnover. Well, by them owning the home, they're going to stay there for a lot longer, because even though they're called mobile homes, that's actually a misnomer. Once that home is on a park, it costs about $6,000 to move them. So they'll stay there for a lot longer and continue to pay that rent on the lot.
Yeah, mobile homes are not all that mobile, it turns out.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, typically once a home is on a park, it'll stay there for the life of the home. Now, the tenant may move out, but whenever they do, they have to sell that home. So essentially, it decreases the turnover, and you know, it's a more consistent source of cash flow.
Yeah. Well, in Yaki, are there certain markets that these mobile homes are working better in for you guys, and maybe in the North, South, Midwest, or is it geographically really independent of the U.S.?
No, yeah, absolutely. There's definitely mobile homes everywhere. And depending on what you look for, there's different opportunities in different places. Generally, we are in the Midwest, so and some in the Southeast. So right now we're in 9 different states. We have 24 communities and about 1,600 rental units. So we're in states like Arizona, Kansas, Missouri, Tennessee. We have some in Kentucky, Alabama, North Carolina, and we have some in Ohio. We look for parks that are between 50 and 70% occupancy. It doesn't mean we won't buy below or above that, but the reason why we target 50 and 70% occupancy is because they will cash flow from year one, but there's also a lot of room for growth. If you buy a park that's a 20% occupancy, there's a lot of room for growth, but you may not see cash flow for a few years. And on the flip side, if you buy a stabilized park, it may be a good source of cash flow, but there's not that much room for growth. So yeah, to go back to your question, it's in the Midwest and the Southeast is where we generally acquire our parks.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. And as an investor potentially investing with Four Peaks Capital Partners in these mobile home parks, what kind of business model and return can they expect? Do you guys hold these parks for long term, short term? What does that look like at Four Peaks Capital Partners?
Yeah, we're definitely a buy and hold long-term cash flow investor. So we don't really necessarily, even though we do get appreciation and force appreciation, that's not what we look for. We look for, does this property make sense right now in this market today? Is it a good cash flowing property that we can hold for the long term? And so even though there's appreciation that comes along with it, that's not necessarily how we look at investing. We're not flippers. We're long-term buy and hold. And there's different ways that accredited investors can get involved. I mean, we have a fund where we acquire multiple mobile home parks, and then we also do individual deals. So depending on what the investor is looking for, we match them with the right investment.
Yeah, awesome. It all goes back to helping out that investor, like we've talked so much about throughout this show.
Right. It is never, ever, ever, ever about me. Some people are looking for tax benefits. Some people are looking for appreciation. Some people are looking for cash flow, and everybody's different. So that's why we have multiple opportunities that we offer.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and Yaki, in your short career, you've been able to develop so much awesome experience and relationships that you're able to provide accredited investors these opportunities to invest in mobile homes. So really awesome stuff. I really enjoy what you're doing. I think it's super interesting. And especially being a fellow young professional in this space, I'm really fascinated with your career up to this point. So really, really cool stuff. Well, hey, as we're starting to wrap up here, I want to kind of go back and touch upon like why you're doing what you're doing, your reasons why, your future goals. Can you kind of just plug us back into, you know, your personal experiences and what you're doing these days?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess before we touch on that really quick, just want to let your listeners know, if they're interested in mobile home parks and want to learn more, we have a free guide on our website at fourpeakspartners.com. And that's four spelled out, F-O-U-R, fourpeakspartners.com. You can download a free guide. But going back to your question about why I'm doing this, you know, to me, it boils down to freedom. I want to be able to do what I want, whenever I want, with whoever I want. And it's not just about money. It's also about, you know, being able to give back to the community in big ways, being able to spend time with family, being able to travel the world. So for me, it's always been about being financially free, because I believe that once you're financially free, you can not only do whatever you want, but you can also help and give back in bigger ways than possible. Some people say money is not important. Well, I think it is, because if you don't have money, you can't give back. You can't make large contributions to church. You can't help the homeless. So I believe that by being financially free, you're able to be a better person and you're able to help the world out in bigger ways.
Yeah, I absolutely love it, Inyaki, and I couldn't agree with you more. Well, Inyaki, what does your future hold? What are your future goals?
Yeah, you know, one of my goals is to become an accredited investor before 30. And for those that don't know what an accredited investor is, either your income has to be at least $200,000 for the past 2 years and you expect for it to be the same or more this year, or your net worth has to be at least $1 million, not including your personal residence. So I want to be an accredited investor so that I can also not only raise capital for my own deals, but so that I can invest in other people's deals and essentially achieve financial freedom a lot faster.
Yeah, well, I have no doubt that you're on that path to becoming an accredited investor, Inyaki. So more power to you, and I know that you'll reach it.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, Inyaki, as we're wrapping up here, we've got a lightning round that we ask every guest on the show. It's just a series of questions we'd like to fire at you, and you just give us a quick answer. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, cool. Well, our first question, Inyaki, is what was your biggest hurdle getting started investing in real estate, and how did you overcome it?
Mindset was the biggest hurdle, thinking that it's not possible. But when I started getting around all these amazing people, all this evidence that success is possible, then I figured out, okay, if all of these people can do it, I can do it too. You know, once you sit down with the Ken McElroys and Tom Hopkins and the Robert Kiyosakis, you figured out that they are people just like you are, and they are human beings just like you are. So if they can achieve it, then so can you. They're not anything different. It's not anything magical. It's just a mindset thing.
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely. Well, Inyaki, do you have a personal habit that contributes to your success?
Yeah, absolutely. I wake up every day at 5 a.m. I go work out, get some sweat going, get some blood pumping, and then I meditate. I think one of my favorite books, it's The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod, and he talks about the different things that you should do every morning, and that's read. You need to read something that's inspiring or motivational every morning. You need to do your affirmations, so go through all your affirmations in the morning. Then visualize. So I put in a classical music in my ears and literally visualize exactly how I want my life to be. And you have to really go deep and like pretend like you're touch. If it's a nice car you want to drive, you know, pretend like you're driving it. Put your hands out and pretend like they're on the steering wheel. And then you need to meditate. So meditating has helped me out tremendously. It makes me more focused. It makes me able to concentrate and gives me less stress. Like I said, work out. And then the last thing is write. So you want to write down your goals every morning and you want to write down your plans for the day.
Yeah, awesome. I love it. And that's a book called The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. It's a really great book. For the listeners that haven't picked it up, I'll drop the link in the show notes if you'd like to go pick that up. So awesome stuff. Well, Inyaki, do you have an online resource that you find valuable?
Yes, I'm on the realestateguysradio.com website all the time. They have a lot of great resources, a lot of good podcast episodes, and a lot of great events that I personally attend. So that would be the best online resource that I like.
Yeah, okay, great. And Inyaki, we just touched on The Miracle Morning, but do you have a book that you recommend to the listeners and why?
Yeah, the One Thing, the One Thing by Gary Keller. I think it's my book's called The One Thing That Changed Everything, but not that one. The One Thing by Gary Keller. It's a great book because it talks about what is the one thing that you can do now that would make everything else not needed. So what is the one thing that you can do today, right now, that will help you get to your goals a lot faster? And it talks about time blocking and it talks about different things on how you can achieve that. And I think that's a book that has definitely helped me out a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one of those fundamental mind shift books is The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. We'll also drop that book in the show notes for listeners to pick up if they'd like. So thanks for that.
Absolutely.
And Yaki, last question we've got for you is, if you were to give advice to your 20-year-old self, although that wasn't very long ago for you, to get started investing in real estate, what would it be?
Go out and find those who are already successful in investing. Add value to them and surround yourself with them. So figure out how you can help them and figure out how you can learn from them by being valuable to them.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, such great advice there, Yaki. And I think that's just another topic, another recurring theme throughout this show is go out, find the people who are doing what you want to do, get around them, network with them, build those relationships, and learn how they're doing it. So, Yaki, as we're wrapping up here, it's been such a great interview. I've enjoyed having you on the show. I'm sure the listeners have really enjoyed this as well. If the listeners want to reach out to you, connect with you, where can they find more about you or connect with you if they'd like to?
Yeah, they can head on to my website, and that's my first and last name. So that's iñakistrick.com. That's iñakistrick.com. iñakistrick.com. And Jake, if they go on there and they fill out the contact form and say that they listened on your show, I'll be more than happy to send them a free copy of The One Thing That Changed Everything with me, Kyle Wilson, Robert Helms, and so many other great authors.
Oh, Yaki, we appreciate that so much. So that is iñakistrick.com. And let's not forget that you mentioned the free guide earlier in the episode. If you'd like that free guide on mobile home park investing, you can go to fourpeakspartners.com. So we'll link both of those sites in the show notes. Yaki, we thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been a great conversation, and I can't wait until we connect next time.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Yaki. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast, providing you actionable content to build your real estate empire. Nothing on this show should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for personal advice. The opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have a potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom, LLC, exclusively.